Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
So hello and welcome to episode 76 of the PCI podcast. Wherever you are and however you're listening, it's great to have you with us. In this episode, we'll be taking some time to explore leadership in the life of the church and the need for leaders, whether they're ministers, elders, other ministry staff, and even our volunteers, to be encouraged, envisioned, and equipped to fulfill the calling of leadership. I'm Andrew Dixon, PCI's Congregational Life Development Officer, hosting the conversation. And I'm delighted to be joined by David Thompson, Angus Stewart, and Anne Dines. Folks, it's really wonderful to have you on the podcast. And I wonder, as we begin, if you could maybe take 1 minute each to tell us a little bit about yourselves, who you are, where you're from, what you do, your role within church, and your journey of leadership as well. So David, we'll start with you.
Thanks, Andrew. I'm a born and bred East Belfast boy, and I'm back living there at the moment. My leadership journey has been, I went into ordained ministry straight out of university, started out as assistant minister in Bloomfield Congregation. That was a great place just to listen and learn and watch others as they led. And I draw a lot on what I saw there and how I seek to lead now. Then I was called to First Kilrath's Congregation up in North Antrim, very different. A Belfast boy in the country, a bit of a fish out of water. That was a bit of a leadership challenge, lots of learning there. And then back down into Belfast to Strand Congregation, which is in inner city East Belfast. And again, just having to think differently about the leadership role in terms of how we tried to reconnect with a community that maybe had changed a bit, and church needed to think about that. And then since then, I've held down a couple of leadership roles in PCI, both of which support the development of mission and ministry of congregations. And that's been a mixture of taking responsibility for making things happen, and leadership's always about that, but also along with the softer side of leading through influence and persuasion. And again, leadership's always about that. So do you know what? I've been on a bit of a leadership journey I couldn't have seen coming, and I'm not sure where it's going, but that's kind of how it is.
Great. Thanks, David. And welcome to the podcast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are and your journey of leadership as well?
Okay, thanks, Andrew. At present, I'm the clerk of session in West Church Ballymena. Most of my adult life has been spent here in Ballymena, although I was born in Cumber, County Down, and baptised into Second Cumber Presbyterian Church many moons ago. I met Jesus as my saviour at a Scripture Union camp when I was 15 years old, and Scripture Union was instrumental in teaching me the basics of Bible study and prayer. In my 20s and 30s, I was the leader of a Scripture Union camp that went to various places like Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and I served on Scripture Union's camps committee for a number of years in my 30s. I'm now a retired teacher, and I was a pastoral vice principal of a large co-educational post-primary school for nearly 20 years. I was ordained as an elder in West Church in June 2014. And then, to my surprise, I'd have to say, I was elected clerk of session by my fellow elders in November 2020. And I took up the post in January 2021. And since then, I've been finding out all sorts of things about what goes on behind the scenes and what a clerk of session does.
Really, thanks, Sam. We look forward to maybe hearing some of those things as we move through this podcast. Angus, big welcome to you as well. You get to be the last one to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Andrew, and hello, everyone. Yeah, Angus Stewart, currently minister at White Abbey, married to Rosemary, couple of adult stepdaughters. So I was a local boy, born in Lara and brought up in Antrim. But I had 4 years in Scotland at university, then 10 years in England in work, sort of private sector accountancy, public sector, finishing up in organisational development. So lots of strategic and business planning, but management development, leadership training. So that's maybe where a wee bit of an interest in leadership started. Came back to Northern Ireland in my 30s, trained at Union, was assistant and associate at McQuiston on the Castlereagh Road, 5.5 years up the country at Dundrod, and then the last 14 and a half years at White Abbey. Wee bit of time on David's Council and currently on the Council for Training and Ministry. Leadership journey probably began at school, like many folk, with captaining sports teams, university CU, local church, volunteer youth leader, and then an elder, and at work, beginning to lead teams and then working with those who led teams, an interest in military, naval affairs and history and leadership there. I suppose another wee thing I enjoy. So a relatively varied experience of leadership across different work sectors and different ministry settings. Certainly have not cracked it by any means at all, but it is an interest and looking forward to learning this morning.
Great, thanks Angus. It's great to hear each of your stories and the wide variety of experiences there that are included in all this. I suppose if we can touch a little bit on those varied experiences, one of the things that unites you all is that you're now leading within congregational settings in the life of the church. Angus, we'll come back to you. Do you want to maybe share, as you've led across congregations, whether in inner city Belfast, rurally in Dundrod, and now in North Belfast, what have been some of the big encouragements or joys that you find when it comes to leading in the church?
I think as a leader in any of the settings, seeing other folk develop as disciples and leaders is a great joy. Holiday Bible Club a few weeks ago at White Abbey, I was standing beside I was standing beside a 21-year-old man, and we were watching a group of teenagers whom he had discipled to lead the Holiday Bible Club. And he just turned to me. It's one of those moments in time. He just turned to me, and you could see the animation on his face. And he just goes, "Angus, isn't this amazing? Aren't these guys incredible?" Speaking about the teenagers leading the Bible Club. And he went on to say, "They're far better at doing this than me and my mates ever were." But you could see in his face this realization, the joy of seeing folk whom he had discipled and trained as leaders going on to have a really good impact on children. And I think realizing he had realized the joy of leadership in that sense, the joy of passing on the baton and seeing others grow and develop. And a final encouragement, and I'm thinking more and more about this, I suppose, meeting Christian leaders, especially from overseas, folk who have really had very difficult experiences of life, perhaps from the persecuted or suffering church. And just the incredible privilege and the, I suppose, a humbling thing to meet them. And for me, the most impressive thing is just the sheer sense of the presence of the Lord Jesus in them. And that incredible Christ-like quality of their characters. And several times coming away going just, "Oh, I want to be like them." And I have to confess, I've failed abysmally so far. But that's been an incredible encouragement and also very humbling for me.
Thank you, Angus. David, have you any reflections, encouragements, joys that stand out to you?
I think weirdly my greatest encouragements have come from people who I maybe haven't seen for years. And then I meet them and they'll say something to me that happened years ago that impacted their life through something that I maybe don't even remember. And I find that really interesting because it's just a reminder that a lot happens in leadership that's difficult to quantify and difficult to appreciate at the time. And maybe nothing seems to be happening, and yet with hindsight, you can see that God's at work. And it's just a reminder that path of leading is usually about little things that are done with integrity and consistency and leave their mark, rather than big flashy showpieces, which sometimes we think leadership's about, and yet they often have much less impact than those little things. I'm also really blessed that in the leadership role in the ministry I have now, I work with an amazing team in the department I'm in the Council for Congregation Life and Witness. And that's just great to come into nearly every day. Let me just say that, nearly every day. And that's because there's an amazing working culture here among the people on that team. They get an incredible amount of work done efficiently and yet seem to enjoy themselves while they're doing it. And that's also a real reminder of me of what your question really prompted. And it is an interesting question, isn't it? Because you didn't ask us what challenges of leadership have you experienced, because that's what we generally talk about. You asked us, what encouragements, what joys have you seen? And coming in here to work on that team is a real reminder to me that leadership, when it's exercised or experienced and it's done to the glory of God, should always have joy in it, should always have joy around it, and should always have joy about it.
Great, thanks, David. We're glad that you're happy with everything in CCLW, and you've touched on the challenges. We'll come to those in a little minute, but not before, Anne. We've heard some of your encouragements and joys from leading in church in the last decade or so.
Okay, well, I really took up post as clerk of session during the pandemic, and that's a big worldwide event that impacted all of us. So as we were coming out of the pandemic in March 2022, our Kirk session decided to have an away day just to look at how do we move forward, you know, after this huge event. And out of that came a listening Sunday, which we had in September 2022. And that was a time to listen to God and to listen to each other. Rick Hill and Andrew here led the service that Sunday morning. And we gathered in small groups in our social area just to discuss some pre-prepared questions that we had. We then invited the congregation to complete a survey, either online or as a hard copy. Then a small group of the elders collated together the responses from that survey. And with Andrew's help, we formulated a plan, which we called Building Forward. And it has been a real encouragement just to see that plan begin to take shape and to see, you know, what's happening. We wanted a few quick wins, in a sense, you know, you said, and we did, in terms of what the congregation were telling us. So we invited Love for Life, which is a local charity that works in schools. We invited them in to take some sessions with parents and with young people. They deal with the tricky issues around relationships that young people encounter in their teenage years and beyond, and also the whole messy world of social media. And that was a really profitable time for our families and young people. And then we began an interaction with a group called the Genesis Project, and they're now meeting with us once a month in the church. And the Genesis Project is about local traders and business people. So we're really trying to reach out into our local community. And again, that's encouraging to see the church not just as the building and the people who congregate on a Sunday, but we're trying to reach out into our local community. We also felt it was important to set up 5 task groups to look at areas of church life. So we have one of them on kids, youth and family, one on small groups, witnessing, mission and evangelism, leadership and pastoral life. And the encouragement has been, at the end of August, we had a report back from these task groups just to hear, well, what are you actually going to do in the coming autumn, and to see their plans. And one of the things that came to fruition just on Sunday past was we had a Back to School with God Sunday. And just to see the young people at the church, to hear about local education, we were focusing on a special school that's in the town, and to see folk leading and taking us forward, that was a real sort of positive moment. Out of it also came an extra prayer time in church. We have a number of different ones. We started a Wednesday night one, and that has been well attended. And just to see God answering prayer has been an encouragement for us. And another encouragement was, as a part of this whole process, we thought we needed a youth coordinator. And God has really answered our prayers in bringing a young man into the congregation, and to see him speaking on Sunday morning, again, just another positive aspect. And finally, to go back to something that Angus said about watching young people lead, we appointed a new GB captain. We had more than one applicant, and that in itself was an encouragement in these days. As we chatted to a couple of the other girls, again, to hear them speaking about how God was leading them and guiding them was just, for us, heartwarming and positive. So those are some of the encouragements that have been happening in the past year or so within West.
Brilliant. Thanks, Anne, and thanks to David for sharing those. I'm sure there's an awful lot there that resonates. David, one of the things you had mentioned was leadership, as well as bringing joy and encouragement, brings with it lots of challenges, I suppose. And to come back to you, what are some of the challenges of leading in the church? At this time, you mentioned you became clerk of session during, I suppose, as we were coming out of the pandemic. I mean, how has leadership changed for you over the last couple of years? How does leadership look now as clerk of session compared to when you were first ordained as an elder?
Okay, I think COVID-19 had some unintended outcomes that people didn't foresee, hence our Building Forward programme. Normal life stopped, lockdown happened, congregations didn't meet. And I think that was just a massive disruption to individuals' lives and to the life of the congregation. And it interrupted the habit of coming to church and the habit of coming together to worship. I think folk have found other activities that happen on a Sunday morning, whether that's sport or going out for breakfast or just going for a long walk somewhere. You know, perhaps those who have been more loosely connected have become less visible within the church and participation has diminished. In a sense, we have a refined church that's emerging out of this disruption. Possibly those who had stronger connections to folk in the church have come out of the process in a better place. So going forward, I think one of the challenges is to foster those organic relationships between people in a congregation, not just structural ones, but real life relationships that bind members and attendees together. Hence a need for small groups to meet and to minister to one another. I suppose one of the things that we've discovered is there may be a smaller core that's there, but we were encouraged that our treasurer reported that in one of the past months, our FWO, our free will offering, was up on the previous month last year. So in the midst of what we might see as numbers going down, that figure was up. Another challenge, I think, is a way of connecting with our local communities, and that's maybe through social care activities, through hamper ministries or food banks or providing for the needs of families, whether it's clothes or furniture, or just maybe being a warm space in the present cost of living crisis that's out there. Another difference, I suppose, is what has happened in Ukraine. We have seen people coming from different countries into our local communities, and a challenge is how to meet those needs in terms of maybe hosting families, providing transport, helping with CVs or job interviews, cooking meals that allow our Ukrainian visitors to come and be together as families and not just distributed throughout the province. I suppose as circumstances change, the challenge is to proclaim Christ, whether in season or out of season, and to make disciples. All of those things are what we're here to do. And it's being, I think, creative, thinking outside of the box, not seeing as a disruption that destroys what we had, but an opportunity to do something new and different.
Brilliant, thanks. And Angus, if my maths is right, and it probably isn't, knowing my school background, you've been in ministry for nearly about 25 years or so. I mean, what are some of the challenges, differences you've noticed between when you were first ordained to where you find yourself now in White Abbey?
Thanks for reminding me how old I am, Andrew, firstly. I was thinking a wee bit about this, and I think that when sort of I was at Union and coming back into PCI at that stage, there was much more of a sense of certainty, settled expectations about the role of a minister, and I think also about the role of a ruling elder. And I think we maybe were in a place where leadership was assumed and even predicated on the basis of position, of being the minister, of being an elder, probably very much the model of one person leadership. I don't think we did an awful lot of emphasis on training, even for that. So I think maybe a couple of big changes. I think there's much less clarity around what minister is meant to do and what an elder is meant to do. Maybe a bit of loss of focus on some of those things. And then in a slightly contradictory way, the other thing is that folk perhaps try to keep leading in a way that they picked up 20, 30 years ago. And it really doesn't always work that well anymore. We're trying to perform in a way that is outdated, and it feels that it's not working. And we're getting a bit disillusioned. The military is often accused of training and equipping to fight the last war. And I wonder if that's a bit of a factor in our leadership today. And it's a question I always need to ask myself, because the world in which we lead, as Anne has highlighted, is a very different world to 10, 20, 30 years ago. And I wonder if we were losing identity in a changed and challenging world. The church being rapidly marginalised, and it's much, much more complex now. There's a loss of confidence in who we are and what we do, and maybe even in what feels like decline a wee bit, the loss of confidence in Christ. And I think that for folk in leadership, those are incredibly important things. That's no longer hypothetical and conceptual. It's very personal and very real and very important that we address. Sort of our heads are down. We just feel we don't know what to do. We're ill-equipped. We don't know where we're going. And again, the military thing, for many folk, I wonder if it feels much more like fighting a rear guard action, like trying to protect the beachhead at Dunkirk while the evacuation took place. This isn't about invading Normandy and going forward on D-Day. It's a very different place for us to be. And the role of leadership is so crucial at those times. And yet it's a very difficult place in which to lead. I think it's a time of loss, a time when our identity has been questioned, when we are questioning it ourselves, increasing disruption. Again, Anne, I think absolutely right, picking up on all the social and global socioeconomic changes. We've got that rise in secularization, a big rise in people's expectations. That's a very important part of this equation. And I think the big thing is, how do we regain our confidence as leaders in Christ, the great leader? And how do we then apply those eternal truths of Scripture and those biblical principles of leadership to a very changed and challenging environment? So a wee bit conceptual in some ways. I hope I've maybe I feel for me my finger on some things I would think about and pray about a lot.
Great, thanks, Angus. Yeah, I think you have. David, do you want to speak to this a little bit? I mean, how much of what Anne and Angus have shared there is repeated, I suppose, across the denomination as a whole, whether North or South, here in Ireland at the minute when it comes to leadership?
I think what they've both said has been an amazing synopsis of what I see. I was at Presbytery last night in the coffee break. I just had a conversation with a number of people, and so many of these things were coming up. And it does feel like we're living through a period of enormous change and enormous uncertainty, as both Anne and Angus have said. And yet somehow, as a leader, you've got to find that place to stand that gives you enough stability to be able to try and make sense of what's happening. And that's also extraordinarily difficult. And it's also, from a Christian perspective, always about finding the place to stand that is on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was really struck by Anne taking on the leadership role of Clerk of Session during the pandemic. Like, I mean, lots of people find other things to do, but that's an extraordinary thing to find to do whenever you were stuck at home during the pandemic, Anne. But seriously, I know that all of us are sick of hearing about COVID and pandemic this and the effect of the pandemic. I have a real sense that that still is lingering with us. And we need then to gently encourage one another as leaders in this season. And I say gently because I think there still is a real weariness hanging over a lot of people because of the disruption of the pandemic. And so we need to address whatever we're going to say about leadership and to leaders with a real pastoral tone. If we lose that and we start getting frustrated, then I think we're on the road to nowhere. But I say gentle encouragement because that is about giving one another courage to get up and go again, maybe very gradually, and move on from how we might be feeling to take the kind of small steps forward that Anne was outlining and that they'd done in her congregation, so that we actually begin to get up and walk and move again with a wee bit more steadiness and God's strength. I was just struck as well by what Angus said about what's different in leadership in the church now from when he was ordained. And it's a wee bit of a simple thing to say that there's a difference between management and leadership, but there really is. And maybe for a long time in church life, we've managed things. And that was the task. Keep it ticking over. It's not really changing very much. Tweak it here, tweak it there, and everything will continue on as it always has. But I think we are beginning to find that if that's the approach we take to leadership and we're really just managing things, then things aren't really ticking over anymore. And actually, it's like your watch is starting to tick a bit slow and eventually it's going to stop ticking. So we are in a really serious moment, I think, where management just doesn't cut it on its own anymore. There's always going to be an element of things that you've got to manage. But alongside that, you've actually got to step up and step forward and lead. And that is all about the kind of things that Anne and Angus were saying, in as much as we're in a new place. And we need to find ways to be responsive to the way the world has changed around us. And that's never about selling out on the unchanging truths of the gospel. And I think we know that pretty well as a denomination, but it is about trying to find a different way of expressing who we are in Christ that's understandable to us and to a new generation and is understandable to people outside the church. So there is a massive leadership conversation going on in all sorts of ways around the church at the moment that really is important and that we need to take hold of and really pray that God would help us as we seek to go forward. Because if we can't do that as leaders, if we can't lead ourselves and be led by the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to lead anybody else.
I suppose, David, one of the things you mentioned there a little bit within our leadership is the need to be encouraged or to have courage placed within us. And I suppose there's a sense sometimes in leadership of we maybe have to take a little bit more ownership over that ourselves and really seek out opportunities maybe to be equipped better to lead or to be encouraged. How do you maybe go about doing that in your everyday life and ministry? What does it look like for you to seek out those opportunities? What kind of things maybe have you done in the past that have helped equip you to take on the leadership role that you have within the life of the church?
As you pointed out, Andrew, over the many years I've been in ministry, I think changed expectations. I don't need to have all the answers, and that's good because I certainly don't have all the answers, or many of them at times. And I think that recognition that leadership isn't just about me and I, but it's about we and our. So I even think of last night at the Kirk Session meeting. Point Abbey's blessed with a very strong Kirk Session, incredible elders, and able to sit and listen to very gifted brothers and sisters in Christ, very wise, and a couple of things that were proposed they disagreed with, but they were absolutely right in what they were saying. And just the wisdom that comes from us is far better than anything I will come up with. So I think one of the things perhaps I'm learning a little bit is to recognize it is leadership is plural, and it's taken me 25 years to recognize that's Presbyterianism. But it is so good. I think in terms of things that I try and do, again, the older I get, I think the more important soul care is. So those daily and weekly rhythms of spiritual life, but also other periodic times of withdrawal. I love silent retreats, and David and other colleagues in ministry will laugh at me for that, but I love silent retreats, and just that time and space to be still and alone with the Lord. I think other things, the importance of networking. I love speaking to other ministers, both in PCI and other denominations, speaking to folk in Union College, speaking to my elders, folk in business or other sectors. What's God saying? What's God doing? What sort of leadership is God raising up in the Christian church at large? Not just the ministers. So that networking thing is really important for me. I think investing in my leadership, and maybe over the last few years I've let pressures push this to one side, but maybe getting my head back around this. So listening to Christian material, reading Christian material, but also other stuff from perhaps military, naval, business worlds as well, courses and conferences. And David hasn't paid me for this, but there are some great things, some great resources and conferences coming up in PCI. But just that opportunity to open yourself to new thinking, and not to go expecting to be to feel guilty, but wanting to go with others who are going through exactly the same thing and figuring out where the Lord's taking us and receiving things that'll be helpful. And then I think actually one of the big things for me in terms of best practice is just investing in the next generation of leaders, actually doing the work of leadership at that level. It keeps us sharp, it keeps us engaged. It's a really great way to learn from younger brothers and sisters in Christ who at times have a very different attitude and approach, and it's so refreshing and so helpful. So one of the things we're doing at White Abbey, we've started a wee leadership forum. We get our young adults together, some of our younger leaders, folk in their 20s, 30s, 40s, spend a bit of time with them and just working on some of the leadership things and how to develop as leaders, not just to lead an organization, but perhaps in terms of wider leadership within the congregation and denomination. So investing ourselves in actually doing the work of leadership, I think, is actually a really important thing to do.
Thanks, Angus. And I wonder if you want to tell us a little bit about what this looks like for you. Is there an awful lot of what Angus has said there that maybe resonates with you in terms of your approach to this, or do you go about it a little bit differently?
I'd have to say there's a lot of what Angus has said that would resonate in how I would try to sort of keep myself encouraged and equipped, not neglecting the basics, and that can be easy to do. We can talk about prayer and Bible study, but actually going through those basic processes. And I suppose for me, it's about finding new resources, not using the same one, because it's easy to become bored with something or to get into a little rut or a pattern. So looking for new material that keeps me interested and sustained in prayer and Bible study. I mean, the CARE Prayer Diary just, I think, is so good at being detailed about, the issues that are going on in our world and things we should be praying about. A number of years ago in West started the Community Bible Project with Tim Mackey, and he has some really great resources in terms of YouTube videos and diagrams, sermons and lectures and so on. And I suppose the joy of meeting and worshipping with people and different types of worship, not just one sort, but we also started up a prayer and praise evening in the church that was more about listening to God, members of the congregation bringing verses and words of encouragement. And that was, really good to hear other people bringing forward various passages. Like Angus, and I wouldn't laugh at him, I like retreats too. I've been on some of the Cleopas retreats with Ros Sterling, and our past moderator, John Kirkpatrick, did one of them, and David Couples from Enniskillen, and I find them really positive in terms of its input and not output. It's taking time alone with God and just being refreshed. And again, conferences. I mean, living in Ballymena, we're not that far away from the North Coast. And over the summer, there's been the Port Stewart Convention, New Horizon, lots of really good speakers, lots of topics and so on. And again, that's about putting something back in and not giving out to folk. And back in February, I was at a prayer ministry course with David McKelvey. And again, we were ministering to one another, not talking about it, but actually doing some prayer ministry and equipping each other, which was positive. We joked a bit at the beginning about bookshelves and books and whatever. I am a bit of a bookworm, so I do like reading. And I think it's useful and helpful to read about social issues, about things that are going on in our world. I mean, changes in relationships, looking at, what's going on in RSE in schools, and how can we have a positive input into that discussion as people try to take us out of the public marketplace and not let us have a comment, as if we are irrelevant in that, but having something to come back with, something positive to come back with. And Tim Keller, I've read, I think, most of his books, the late Tim Keller, and his book on suffering, if you're in pastoral situations, is helpful to have something to contribute there. I think it's useful to meet with people who don't have your look on things, your perspective on it, and to be challenged and to have to think and to look at, well, how will I respond to that? And also, I think we mentioned at the beginning, Angus, different parts of the world, what God is doing, not just here in Ballymena or even in Northern Ireland, but what is God doing somewhere else? Because he is at work, and that can be a real encouragement to us if we think we're managing and not leading, in a sense. I also think it's important to have interests outside of the role. And those who know me know I chase a little white ball around a golf course quite often. But just meeting and talking with people who aren't maybe church people and just having a fresh perspective on things. And I find there are people out there who like to be negative and who like to sort of pick on me things and bring you a complaint and what are you doing about this and so on and so forth. So therefore, it's useful to have some positive people in your life, some people who bring the encouragement and put back in again and help you to sort of be encouraged as a person, because I think we all need that.
Great. David, do you want to come in
there? Yeah, I need to defend myself here. Now, I'm not going on silent retreat with either of you anytime soon, because it's not my thing. But in all seriousness, that's probably quite an important thing to say. People find ways to step back from the role of leadership in different ways that suit their own personalities. And that's different for all of us. And we do need to be really careful that a lot of the leadership literature will try and squeeze you into a particular mold, because that's where they're coming from. But to just understand who we are and what it is, as Anne has kind of been saying, that energizes us, and what it is that drains us is really, really important in leadership. And both Angus and Anne have been saying about the importance of the balance between input, so reading stuff, learning stuff, listening to people, also output in terms of what they do as leaders. And that also seems so important to me.
Brilliant. Angus, have you anything you want to come back on?
Yeah, it was just a wee thought that struck me when Anne was speaking, and maybe we've sort of hinted at it. You know, one of the things with leadership, I think nearly all the literature across the decades and centuries would say it can be a lonely place. And even today, although I've mentioned about it's not me, it's us and it's leading the team and so on. There are still times where certainly as a minister, you're making decisions and often dealing with things on your own just by the nature of whatever pastoral things going on. But one of the things I wonder about, and there have been a couple of times in my own life ministry, where when things get really busy and the pressure's on, you've got a tendency to withdraw, especially if we're a bit disillusioned. And I just wonder if there's something really important about having friends, meeting people, meeting other folk in leadership, going through the same thing, just an attempt to address that loneliness of leadership. I'm really blessed at Whit Abbey, great session, a staff team that keeps me humble. If nothing else, they're crazy. They're all much younger than I am. It's great. But to friends that you can meet up with, and just the folk you can, who will walk with you and let you walk with them, I think is vital in leadership.
Brilliant. Thanks, Angus. I mean, there's an awful lot, Anne and Angus, you both touched on there, David, that maybe you want to speak a little bit more into in terms of some of the things CCLW is focusing on in the later part of this year and then early 2024 when it comes to encouraging, envisioning, equipping those who lead. They're not silent retreats, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, but there are other things like Leading Edge and Refresh. Do you want to tell us a little bit about those things?
Yes, thanks, Andrew. Sometimes when you work in the department that resources congregations and their leaders, people say to you, well, what big thing is PCI going to do to address these issues? And the truth is we're not doing any big thing, because whenever you're working at the level of church life that councils work at, you very quickly realize that things are not any different for the council than they are for local congregations. And if local congregations and their leaders are trying to work out where we are now and try and make sense of that and just take a few small steps forward, then really so are we. So two small things that we've decided to do and focus on are the Refresh Initiative, first of all, that's going to be rolled out as a series of evening events for elders. And it is pretty much what it says on the tin. It's an opportunity for elders to get together and refresh themselves and be encouraged in their calling and hear from some fellow elders about how they stay fresh in their ministry of eldership and talk together in their own Kirk Session teams about how they can exercise eldership with freshness and faithfulness and fruitfulness, and do that, as Angus was saying, together, rather than always thinking this is something that I have to do on my own. So those Refresh evenings are rolling out, the first one in Macrofelt on the 19th of October, and then in Assembly Buildings in Belfast on the 9th of November, and then next year in the month of March in Second Lima Valley. The Belfast event is also being live streamed. We are encouraging people to come in person to these events, because that's going to be the best experience of it. But if you can't do that, if you're too far away, if it doesn't suit to come on another evening, you can join a live stream, either as an individual elder, or better still, with your Kirk Session on the church premises, so that you can enter into this programme together, even if you're at a distance, and it'll be shaped in a way that will enable you to do that. So those Elders Refresh events are a little way of saying to elders out there, do you know what? You really matter. You really matter, and your ministry really matters, and we care about you, and we care for you, and we want to see you flourish in this work that God has called you to, that you've stepped up to, and that we know hasn't been easy during COVID, and as we come out of it, still isn't an easy thing to do. So we really hope and pray that those Refresh evenings will be helpful to a whole lot of people right across our church in the ministry of eldership. Then we've got a little program called Leading Edge that Angus has already mentioned, and it's starting on the 12th of October. Now, it will meet on five mornings throughout this church year, partly this year into next year, and it provides an opportunity for participants to come together with others and just sit down and explore some key aspects of leading in the church today. Some of the stuff we've touched on this morning, so themes like leading from a place of acceptance, leading in disorienting times, leading well with others, leading without having to feel in control. That's an interesting one, isn't it? And leading change. And each gathering is going to be a time when we come together for the morning, spend time in scripture, explore a range of leadership perspectives and aspects, discuss together what goes on in real life and congregations, and reflect personally on our particular challenges and opportunities. So we've got a program in place, but you know what? It's pretty flexible. And when we get the people in the room and we hear what the issues coming up really are, then we're able to flex and think about what it is we really need to focus on. Now, this is really for people who hold a formal leadership role in church. People like ministers, elders, deaconesses, pastoral workers, children's and youth and family workers. And ministers can access this as well as part of their ministerial in-service training. So if the leadership thing is something you want to pursue in your ministry development, then this would be ideal for doing that. So that's Refresh for Elders and Leading Edge, this program over 5 mornings for people who work in the church particularly. There's still time to sign up for these things, but please don't hang about because they are coming up soon. And you'll find full details of both of these things on the PCI website.
Yeah, thank you, David. We've had a really rich conversation this morning. I wonder if we can draw our time to an end. We can finish it with one of the ways that we usually like to end these podcasts, where we simply hear from each of you a short passage of scripture or a verse that speaks to your heart when it comes to leading in the church today. So Angus, do you want to share maybe a verse or passage with us first?
Yeah, I think for me at the minute, the verse that really is getting a lot of my attention is from Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many," speaking about his sacrifice for us, but his ongoing leadership style that he calls us to follow, I think.
Thank you, Angus. Anne, how about you?
Here in West, over the summer, we've been looking at passages from Isaiah. And a few Sundays ago, we focused on Isaiah 61 and verses 1 to 7. And I think it declares what Jesus has come to do and that he has called us to be a part of this. And in a time when the world seems a bleak place and there's lots of doom and gloom, you know, it gives us many reasons to rejoice. And it also calls us to focus on the promise that he gives to us, that our future is everlasting joy.
Yeah, thank you, Aunt David. Do you want to finish us off?
Yeah, over the summer, I've been drawn to Genesis 28 and verse 16. And it's that bit of the story of Jacob's life where he encounters God in a dream at Bethel. And it's a difficult moment for Jacob, and he's quite nervous about what lies ahead and not sure what's going to happen. And God says to him in the dream that he'll be with him and he'll watch over him wherever he goes. And then we come to verse 16, when Jacob wakes up, it says in the verse that he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And you know, in the journey of leadership, there's lots of times when we feel a bit lost, and we feel a bit bewildered, and we wonder what on earth is happening, if anything's happening at all. Is God active? Is God here? Where is he? But God is always in that place, even if we don't know it.
Thanks for that, David. It's always wonderful, isn't it, to be reminded how God speaks to us, how God encourages us himself, and how much his word has to say to us as we lead within the life of the church. So Anne, Angus, David, a big thank you to each of you for offering your thoughts around how we encourage, envision, and equip leaders to fulfill the calling of leadership. I know that everything you've shared this morning has been a really rich conversation on this podcast will be useful to listeners as we all continue to fix our eyes on Jesus and serve him within the church. Before we finish, as you listen, don't forget you can keep up to date with everything that is going on in the life of our denomination via our PCI social media channels on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can also sign up to receive our regular Equip email that will notify you of upcoming PCI resources and events like Refresh and Leading Edge, which David has mentioned. You can find out more about those at presbyterianireland.org. And that's everything for this episode. We hope you'll join us again soon. But until then, thanks for listening and God bless.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.